Welcome. This is Roger Shouse, and this is Jumpstart Rewind. This is the avenue of our heaven-bound podcast. Thank you for listening to us today. Jumpstart number 1384. This was first written June 30th, 2015. John chapter 4, verse 35. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes a harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest. Our passage today shows the great difference that is often found in how we see things and how the Lord sees things. In the context, the disciples asked Jesus to eat. He replied that he had food that they did not know about. He went on to reveal that his food was to do the will of him who sent him. Jesus was determined to accomplish the work that he was set out to do. The work was to seek and to save the lost. Our verse follows, "Lift up your eyes and look. It's harvest time." Borrowing from the principles of farming, which Jesus often did, such as in the parable of the sower, now he deals with a harvest. The harvest is what farming is all about. Some like being outdoors. Some may like to feel dirt on their hands. But in the end, farming is not about pulling weeds, planting seeds, cleaning your equipment. It's about the harvest. Without a harvest, the farmer goes broke. The harvest makes it or breaks it for the farmer. The harvest is very important to farmers. In this setting, harvest was still 4 months out. The seed had been planted. The crop is growing. Now it's waiting. James talks about the farmer who waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it. 4 months until harvest. I'm a city guy. I've always been a city guy. I suppose that during those 4 months, the farmer is fixing his machinery, mowing fields, pulling weeds, getting things ready for when the harvest comes. Basically, he's waiting. Planting season and harvest seasons are the busy times. The in-between times is not as hectic. Farmers in Jesus' day really had some downtime. They didn't have the massive machinery our modern farmers must maintain today. Back then, they generally stuck with one or two crops, and the science of crop rotation wasn't known. So the in-between time was a waiting time. Jesus, using the coming harvest as his lesson, told the disciples to open their eyes. Look upon the fields. They are ready for harvest. They are ready now. This was most unusual in farming terms. The harvest wouldn't be ready that soon. Jesus was finished talking about farming. Now he's talking about spiritual matters. He was talking about his work. The harvest was ready now. People were ready to hear the gospel. Lives were ready to be changed. Now was the time. Jesus didn't come to earth to have some downtime. A quick read of the Gospels and one will find very little off time for Jesus. He was on the move. He was teaching. He was with people. He was always about his Father's business. This time was short, but his purpose was very clear. Upon the cross, he would declare, "It is finished." The "it" wasn't him, but the work that he came to do. He finished it. He completed it. He didn't leave anything undone. Lift up your eyes and see. Now's the time to be busy. Now's the time to get about things. Now lies a great contrast between what Jesus saw and what we see. We see 4 more months. We see a little downtime. We see no such hurry. That's not what Jesus saw. That contrast between what Jesus saw and what others saw is found throughout the Gospels. Remember the bent-over woman in the synagogue? Sure, everyone noticed her, but Jesus saw her. He healed her that day. The blind man that they passed one day brought a question from the disciples about who causes blindness. They were curious about the spiritual origin of his disease. Not one of them thought to ask Jesus to help him. Jesus cured the blind man. Little Zacchaeus up in the tree. Jesus saw him invite himself to his house. Jesus saw something in a tax collector named Matthew. He chose him to be one of the apostles. Jesus saw things in people that most didn't. We tend to see issues, layers, complicated problems, whereas Jesus sees a soul, a troubled soul, a lost soul, a hurting soul. Lift up your eyes and see. There comes another thought from lifting up your eyes principle. There are those who can see how things could be. They see what it would be like if the principles of the scriptures were applied. They see what could happen if everyone chipped in and did their part. They see a leadership that's compassionate, involved, and helping each member one by one. They see a church as united and caring. They see the little ones being helped by the big ones. They see what patience and growth would do to a congregation. They see future elders and young men. They see a preacher and a young man. They see a group that loves, forgives, and accepts. They see people connected and sharing. Through the principle of the Bible, they see that. The few that see often get discouraged when others don't see. They haven't lifted up their eyes. They don't see that the fields are white for harvest. Not yet. Not now. Some can see what could be what most people don't. Most are content to live day to day. Changes come slowly. Changes comes and it's fault. Visionaries have existed behind every invention and every political cause. It's what fuels movements to change. Some can see what could be. Potential is there. But too often, reality is nothing more than sitting on the couch and playing video games. Those that cannot see get discouraged with those who do not see. Those that see want change, and they want it quickly. Those that do not see the need to change. They are content to keep things the way that they are. In the Vietnam era, John Lennon sang a song called Imagine. Imagine everyone getting along. Imagine no differences. Imagine no wars. He saw things that most would never see. Lennon's Imagine was a world without God, and in such a world, there was no basis for peace and getting along. It's every man for himself. It's get what you can get. But I do understand the visionary concept. I'm that way. I told someone recently that I do not know if I will ever see a congregation live up to the potential that I envision. That could be discouraging to some. It's like a parent or a school teacher who has a very gifted child, but the child doesn't want to live up to his potential. He's content to float. He's content to do as little as possible. Challenges don't move him. Special studies and classes and opportunities don't excite him. Sitting around listening to music and playing with his phone seems to be his greatest ambition. Oh, to have his talent. Oh, to have his opportunities. Lift up your eyes and look. Could that thought be said of each of us? Have we settled into things that are easy, safe, and not too challenging? When we teach a class, is it a subject that we've taught over and over so we can do it very easy with very little effort? Do we find ourselves preaching the same things that are comfortable with us preaching? Do we find ourselves singing the same songs, doing the same things over and over because we can? Have we given up on lifting up our eyes because that may lead to change, challenges, and involve a time and a work that we simply do not want to devote to? What could our congregations be like? What could we be like? What would I be like? Have you taken those spiritual principles that we have learned over and over and plugged them into our hearts to see what could become? Have we reached our peak? I heard a story about an Amish guy who bought a Ferrari. He was not able to drive it because of his Amish principles. He sat in a bright red car, but it was pulled by two mules. He was not using a sports car to its potential. Makes a person think, doesn't it? Have we really lifted up our eyes in a while? What would we see? What could be done? What potential could we reach? Lift up your eyes. Give it a try today. What do you see? What do you see in your congregation? What do you see in your family? What do you see in yourselves? Don't say there are 4 months. Our Lord says, lift up your eyes and look. Thank you for listening.